Good evening. Good to see you guys. My name is Alex Röhm. I'm one of the lead pastors of this church, and I'm usually teaching on Sunday mornings. And I say hi from Brandon. He got sick, and I jumped in on a short notice. Actually, I learned of his sickness this afternoon. But anyways, he was teaching on the core values, which should be and is on my heart. And it's very easy for me to jump in today. Guys, what a privilege we have, right? To be the church, the gathering, the people of God. Isn't that an amazing thing that we have? It's not by our own merits, not by anything we did, nor by our knowledge, or even not in the details, what we do, believe, and so on. It is because you are chosen by the Almighty God to be saved. This is an amazing thing. That's why you're here. That's why you belong to the people of God. And the message is, all that happened on the cross. We were lost completely when Jesus freely went to the cross, suffered, died for you and my sin, and rose again and gives us new life. That's not only a privilege to stand in that freedom and to be a part of the family of God. It's not only that privilege, but it's also a privilege to be a church that has a purpose from God. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. One of our core values is outreach. And actually, I think it's the fifth, so we're jumping ahead a little bit today. But Brandon is going to do the others. Yeah, and outreach is especially on my heart. I'm also responsible for missions in this church. So I thought I'd do this today. So in our little pamphlet you may have read, we have our core values, and there are three paragraphs about the core value outreach. So first, I also want to say it's a good thing to be together. It's a good thing, I mean, to fulfill our purpose, our life's purpose, to worship God together like we did earlier. It's an amazing thing, but we will have eternity for that, right? We will be in heaven and sing to Jesus 24/7 for the rest of eternity. Here, we have that, and it gives us power, strength to be with God. And then we go out and have a purpose in this world. And this purpose we call outreach. And so the first paragraph in our core values, it says, The paragraph reads like this. We believe every Christian as a disciple of Jesus Christ is called to represent Jesus and to proclaim the truth of his gospel to those around them. Our aim is to prepare, to equip all members of our church to fulfill this calling. So we worship together, we get new strength, we hear the teaching from the Word of God, we are soaked with truth when we go out, and we're called to represent Jesus Christ out of these walls. Out there. And how do we represent Jesus? And there are three things that I want to bring to you. And number one is to preach, right? So everybody needs to hear the good message. Everybody needs to hear there is a saving God. You know, sometimes you have this one chance when you talk to someone, and it's probably the only chance that this person hears the good news of Jesus. Hey, God doesn't condemn you. God died for you. He loves you. He wants you to get saved. Just believe. Just trust in him. And this is sometimes you meet people and you're the only person they hear it from. And if you're the only person, the Holy Spirit will talk to them when you do that, when you're faithful. And it's an amazing thing because God could just save everybody like this, and he has chosen to use us. I don't know why. Actually, nobody knows except for God himself. But he has chosen us to be there, his workmanship, to bring the gospel to all the ends of the world. And it's such a freeing message, right? It's different from the message of this world, you know. For example, you can read all kinds of self-help books and try to sleep better and try to control your thoughts better and eat better and exercise better, but still it will be you, and your thoughts in the end will be the same, and you will be lost like you were before. There's only one message that can pull you out of all this. It can heal you, it can free you, and we need to tell this message to the people. You know, this is the only message that counts in the world. This is the only thing that really has eternal value that you can say in this world. The love of God, and to proclaim it to others. The other way how you can represent Jesus, of course, and it's obvious, is love. Jesus said when he prayed for his disciples, "By this they will know that you're my disciples, and that you love each other." So they will see our love, but the thing that is really convincing, the thing that is really changing the world and has changed the world since over 2,000 years now, is the love of God displayed to the enemies of God. That's how Jesus overcame this world on the cross. We were his enemies, the whole world were his enemy, and he overcame by loving in spite of the hate, in spite of the opposition, in spite of everything. Despite we were his enemies, he overcame our hate. And we're called to do the same thing. We're called to love our enemies, to love people who don't want to listen, and to love like everybody. This is how the love of God changed the history of the world. The love of Jesus overcame the hatred of the Roman Empire because they knew they don't do only good to their own widows and poor people. They're also important to the state now. We can't persecute them anymore because they're too important for our state. Actually, this is one of the guys wrote this. God's love overcame this world, and we're called to overcome this world, the hatred and the disorientation and how the world is lost. We are called to overcome this by love. That means thinking of the other person first, lending a hand wherever necessary, and to give ourselves to people. And sometimes our deeds speak louder than our voices. So this is the second way to be a representative of Jesus. And the third way is, of course, how we really change the world is not by doing only, but also by praying. So in Latin it says, ora et labora, work and pray. Those two things are necessary to do together. Or you can't love someone if you're not in contact with Jesus. If you do not have the source of your power within Jesus, and he provides easily, right? You just pray. But if you don't, you give from yourself, and you get tired, and your love will wear out, and people will realize it's not a witness. Only if it's from Jesus himself, if you have the power from Jesus himself, you can really love the world, and you can really, only then you can really share the gospel with a humility of heart that is necessary. So those three things are really important to be representative of God. And I need to add to the point of love, of course, we need to love God himself. So the most important law, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second law is of the same importance, is love your neighbor. But love your God. If you love God, you live a holy life. Well, maybe not perfect, maybe an almost holy life. But you live a life that is pleasing to God and that is good in itself. This is also something that people will see. And your words and your deeds need to speak the same language. So those three things make us two representatives of Jesus in this world, which is preaching, loving, and praying. The second paragraph of our of our core value pamphlet says, we desire to be a gospel-spreading, Christ-exalting, We desire to be a gospel-spreading, Christ-exalting church in and for our city of Freiburg and our region, reaching out to the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ, and as an international church, reaching and welcoming internationals in our city. So when Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, he said, wait here for the Holy Spirit, most important thing. Wait here for the Holy Spirit, but then you will go and spread the gospel in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and then eventually to the whole world. So we have to start where we are. This is an important thing. So we want to spread the gospel where we live in our city, Freiburg. Ding, doesn't work. Can you click on? Yeah. So we want to spread the gospel in our city of Freiburg. We want to be a church that is not located here someplace near the uni, and people seeing some strange thing in this old cinema there called Calvary. What? My desire would be that people, when they go by here and read Calvary Chapel, they say, ah, yeah, I know this guy who is a part of this fellowship, and he told me that Jesus died for me. So that would be my desire. Everyone who passes by here reads the signs and says, ah, I know what this is about, and may come in one day and to give his life to Jesus or hers. So, and our region, which means there is a lot of room we can go. We are not restricted to the streets of Freiburg. But, I mean, the streets of Freiburg are a lot to do. So I want to tell you a little bit what we are doing as a church. We have a book table that is, I think, on Saturdays in the city. We support Nathan, who is a very dear friend of ours. He's used to go to this church, now is in another church, but we're friends. Many of our church members work with him together. He's out on Thursdays in the Stühlinger Kirchplatz, handing out tea and the love of God. And then we want to restart Jesus Burgers, which we did on Friday evenings through the night, where we barbecue burgers here in front of the building and hand burgers out to people who go to party. And what else do we do in Freiburg? Oh yeah, and then of course our youth works. So we have our summer camp, which usually starts in the first week of summer vacation, school vacation. We have around 120 kids to, I don't know the age exactly, till 10 or something. And then we have the same amount of youth afterwards for 10 days. It's evangelistic. It's like usually 30-40% of the kids there are non-Christians. So, and there's so many lives touched through this ministry. God has blessed us so immensely through the summer camp. We do that since 2003, and that we never missed a summer. So if you like to be involved in some outreach work, that would be a great opportunity. Then we have our youth, how is it called in English? The Royal Rangers Group, our, Boy Scouts, Scouts. Yes, they meet on Fridays in a Christian school, and it's also parts of the kids there are non-Christian, come from non-Christian homes. They hear the gospel there. They see the love of Christ in action, and they experience nature, how God created it. Wonderful thing, and so many things, I can't remember. We have so many things going on in this church. So if you become part of this church, select something where you can go to reach out and not only to work here for the church. It's my encouragement to you. So many opportunities for that. And you can do it on an everyday basis, right? So you can talk to your co-workers and to your fellow students and so on. So when Jesus talked to his disciples, first do it in your city, then in the neighbor, in the surrounding area, but then the whole world. When I think of the whole world, I always have the following picture in mind. And I don't know who of you knows what this picture means. Who knows what this picture means? Some of you guys know. Well, it speaks of the 80-20 window, or however it's called, or 90-10 or whatever. Yeah, so, but what it means is this region that is colored in red on this map, on this world map, this is a region where there's almost no gospel presence. There are whole areas and whole people groups where there is no Christian at all and no messenger went there. This is when I heard about this first, I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's such a big part of this world. Actually, most of the people of the world live in this area. I think it's 2/3. And what's the most hard fact about this? There is only, from the rich part of the world, is basically everything that is north of the red part. We are rich with money, but also we are rich because we know the gospel. We have whole cultures built by the gospel, more or less. And we have many Christians with a lot of money. And those people give money for missions, but I'm not 100% sure. I didn't have time today to research again. But if I remember right, it's only a one-digit percentage of the missions money that goes into this red area. Think about that. 90% of the missionaries, they go to places where there already are churches. And virtually nobody goes into this area which is red in here. So we have to rethink what we do as Christians. We have that purpose. It has been given to us by our Lord personally. And there is so much to do. Actually, there's some people look at this map and point and laugh and so on. It's interesting because, yeah, one thing is, why is Portugal red? Okay, I don't know. I copied it from the internet. I don't know. It's for me the main thing is the interesting thing, right? And also I know from my friends here there are areas in India which are Christian and so on. All fine. But the general thing is true, right? There's like massive parts of the world where there's no gospel presence. And when you look at this, you see like a little bit of his Hindu, a little bit of his probably Buddhist, but most of it is heavily influenced by Islam. And that is where we want to put our focus as a church. We see there is a lot to do for the Muslim world. Virtually nobody goes there. And those people who go there, it's tough work. Yeah, you can't go there and stand on a marketplace and yell the gospel out as you could here in Freiburg, for example. You can't, right? You will die right away before you've finished with your message. And it's hard work because it's a multi-generational effort. You need to go there. You need to establish yourself as a family there. You need to find friends. Usually it starts with the women. Women make friends and talk about these things more easily. Men get more easily offended and defend their culture and so on. And then you start to meet with families. Then you should probably start some. A friend of mine went there. He lived there 20 years, I think, and started a kindergarten, and got into contact with the families through the kindergarten, and then was able to slowly share the gospel. So this is how it works in the Muslim world in general, generally speaking. And you need to be there for 50 years or something before something happens, before you have a church that is really established. That's how we think currently about this. So we want to commit ourselves as a church to support one city in the Muslim world and to establish a presence from our church under our leadership, a continuous presence there in this city, in order to break the ground, in order to establish a church in a Muslim country. And for that purpose, we do partner with the organization Frontiers. Frontiers, I mean, at least now we have sent out, I don't know, 6, 7 families with Frontiers, some of them short-term, most of them long-term. Three of the families work in the Frontiers headquarters in northern Germany. And so we have, there's a good partnership, a well-established partnership with Frontiers. And they have this program, Cities to Go. You can look it up on the internet. There you can find 100 cities they want to pray for and 100 cities they want to reach. And if you want to, and if you want to be in union with this church and become part of our outreach core value, I invite you to pray. And if God tells you a city, gives a city on your heart, may call you there, but also you get a prophecy from the Lord, you tell us, because we're still looking and praying where to go, which city to select before we start to send people there. So please, pray for this thing. Pray for the Muslim world. Pray for probably some of these cities you may find on the internet there. And I pray we will have unity about that to reach the lost world, really. And so some of you guys may even be called, like you sent Stephen out of this fellowship here, the Church at Five service. You sent Stephen to the Muslim world, also with Frontiers. He's there now for almost a year, I think. Who knows, are you guys? Almost a year. Yeah, and he does great work. If you're interested in that, who can you talk to? Who's a contact person who is in contact with Stephen? Jana, for example. You can talk to Jana and ask her about it. He even sent out a video so you can look what he did on his first trip. So if you're interested, you can ask her. So it's really important to us to be present in our city, to share the gospel here. It's really important to us to bring it to places where the people haven't heard about the gospel. And the third paragraph is what the church's responsibility about all this is. Not everybody goes to the Muslim world. Not everybody stands on a box in the city center and yells out the gospel. But there's also a responsibility as a church. Not everybody is called to go. Some of us are called to send. And this is the third paragraph in our core value outreach. We believe every church is to be a sending church, faithfully taking the gospel of Jesus to all the nations by planting churches. Let me make a break here. So when we read the Acts of the Apostles, when we read church history, the way how the gospel rooted in places and people got saved was always, always, always through churches. The way to reach people, even here in our country, is to plant churches. Research shows that even if there are already churches, if you plant a church, people will come to faith, and the number of Christians multiplies in the city. It has been God's way to do it, to plant churches. So the goal must always be, even if we go to a Muslim world, eventually to plant a church. I mean, of course, in some countries, a church wouldn't be like have a billboard on the street, right? They would meet in cellars and so on. But to establish a church. So we believe every church is to be a sending church, faithfully taking the gospel of Jesus to all nations by planting churches. Our aim is to be true to Jesus' command by sending and supporting those from a community whom he calls into this task. Jesus' last teaching, last instructions are important, right? He said, you will be witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We can be witnesses by going and by sending. And to send is a very important calling. We give our resources to people who really invest their time into doing the work. But it's not done by sending money. Actually, it's the least important part of it. The most important part of it is to pray. Nothing can happen, especially when we go, when we think about the Muslim world, nothing can happen without God's divine intervention. And we need to be on our knees before the throne of God that he will change the world. And when we send out someone, we can't think, oh yeah, it's taken care of, so I go about my other business. No, it's not taken care of. This is one member of ours. Remember, the church is compared to a body. One member, one hand of us is, let's say in Yemen, one hand of us is in Yemen, and we can't say the rest of the body does something else. It's not possible, right? We need to be involved as a church. We need to know what our guys are doing. Like Stephen, you need to pray here in the service on a regular basis for Stephen and for the guys who went out from this fellowship here. Because God, he will prepare the work. He will break the ground. He will open the hearts, and not Stephen. So we want to be a sending church who is supporting financially by prayer and by staying in contact, right? Our members who go out to places where there is no worship service, for example, they can't go to a place and sing and experience the blessing of singing to God together. We need to be able to support them also socially, call them, pray with them on the phone, sent them encouraging messages, and so on. So this is what it means to be a sending church. Also, and then I'm almost done, We need to be able to think through the whole thing, right? If someone is willing to go for 30 years into a country, we need to prepare a place when he comes back and when they come back. We need to be able to support them when they're here and may not have a pension. So things like that are also important when you really want to send and you want to do give a long-term commitment of 50 years or similar. So that is that. So our core values about outreach, we want to be a church known by us reflecting Jesus in what we say, how we love, and how that we pray. And also we want to be known in this city and make Jesus known in this city. Everyone we meet, we potentially have the task to share the gospel with them. And we want to think of planting churches in our area in Germany to spread the gospel further here. And then we also want to think of the whole world, especially of the Muslim world, where there is, in people groups where there is no gospel presence. And we do that not only by going, some of us, but also by being aware what it means to send people. Father, I thank you that you gave us this vision and this core value of reaching out, and we take it as our duty. You saved us from hell. When we didn't deserve it, when we were your enemies still. And you put us in the church to bless each other, to grow and to become more holy, but also to fulfill the purpose of reaching out. I pray that you make us one as a church, that you make us one in this effort, that many, many would contribute through the efforts we make to spread the gospel in Freiburg and in the world. Jesus, and we need you for that. We can't do anything of ourselves. We don't have the right words. We're not wise. We don't have the strength to convince. We don't even have the strength to love of ourselves. So we need you, Jesus. Come fill us with your Holy Spirit every day that we're able to represent you well. Amen.